This is Jim Inkster, and you're listening to Talk Louisiana. In 2011, our guest Greg Giles, one of the most remarkable writers in America, sustained life-threatening injuries in a car accident on Highway 61 near Natchez. He remained in a medically induced coma for 8 days, and Greg ultimately lost part of his right leg. Doctors declared his survival miraculous. Out of that tragedy, the Natchez Trilogy was born. The Natchez Trilogy has been compared to Faulkner and Conroy, the greatest Southern Gothic writers, and Greg's life mirrors what is unveiled in these books. His father, a doctor like Penn Cage's father, ran the U.S. Embassy Medical Center during the height of the Cold War when Greg was born in 1960 in Germany. The book is Mississippi Blood. It's the culmination of the trilogy, now in paperback, and it is a remarkable read, as all of Greg's books have been. And Greg, this one, like the others, is quite personal in a most profound way.
Well, yes, Jim. I'm a Mississippi boy, but I would tell your listeners I'm a Louisiana boy, too. My mother was from Crowville, Louisiana. My daddy from DeRidder, Louisiana. And one thing I know is the South. And this book is a story at its core of family. It's about a son who learns that his beloved father, a physician in the community, sort of an Atticus Finch, was not the perfect man, the perfect hero everybody believed he was. And that's a traumatic point for all of us when we learn our parents weren't the perfect people that we believe as children. And, of course, this epic three-novel series is built around a murder trial. And there are a lot of parallels between the story and my life, and there are a lot of realities about the South that I think people in the South will be grateful to see presented in their true complexity.
Well, it's a story that I think any Southern person can relate to, and you and I are of the same vintage growing up in the South.
And, what a euphemism, Jeff.
Well, and we know people who did some bad things, and sometimes they weren't bad people all the time.
Well, you know what comes out of this, Jim, to me, the most amazing thing has been the reaction. I get asked all the time by interviewers around the country how people in Natchez or Vidalia, Faherty, react to this. And what I say is the thing that I most hear is this. They will, in their mind, figure out who the characters are based on, and sometimes they're right, you know, at least who characters were inspired by, and they'll say, my God, I grew up right next door to that guy, or my daddy used to work with that guy, or I was shopped in the grocery store with him all the time, and I never knew he was involved in these murders, you know. And that's the thing. It isn't like people in the KKK or did these murders were white supremacists off on some mountaintop. They were out there on the softball field with you or sitting in church. This is the thing. We sort of block this out because we don't want to face that, you know.
Well, you have faced it in a big way. How difficult was it for you to do that?
The harder thing was to. This is the hard thing for me. When I'm in Mississippi, I'm a very vocal critic of the state. When I'm away, I'm a very vocal defender of the state. I think the South has always gotten a bum rap on race. We're the whipping boy of the nation, as if racism only exists in the South. And so the hard thing for me was to depict all the cruelty of this period, knowing that fell into the trap of the way that Yankees see and prefer to see the South. And I'm glad, I don't want to say I'm glad to see, certainly, but if the last 3 years' events with these police shootings and everything all over the country and the riots have taught us anything, it's that racism is not confined to the South. It is an American problem, a universal problem. So I hope I get that across in my books, and that's the challenge.
Penn Cage, a character like few others in fiction, stands tall, and this character is one that you have been around the block with a few times.
Yes, people ask me if Penn is me, and he is not me. For one, I'm not a lawyer, and number two, I'm not as much of a Boy Scout as he began. Penn is almost a little too good when he starts in The Quiet Game, the very first Natchez set book back in 1998. But he, by the time of this series, he has certainly lost a lot of his illusions about humanity, and he has had to get fairly violent on occasion to combat the evils that he fights. And for your listeners, you know, I'm glad to still be on this leg of the tour in my home territory. People from Louisiana and Mississippi really will recognize this milieu, you know, that Penn lives in, who he is, the people he interacts with. And I always get letters from people around our area, even not so much for the story itself, even though they may like that, but they just, they love that they know all the places and all the feel and everything, you know.
The voice we're hearing is that of Greg Iles. He spent his youth in Natchez, and his novels have been published in more than 35 countries. His latest work is Mississippi Blood, an overwhelming bestseller, now in paperback. And we're talking about Penn Cage, who is the hero of these novels in the trilogy, and one that goes back for many years with Greg. When did you first get the concept of Penn in your mind, Greg?
I first dealt with him back in, probably thought of it about 1996 or 7. You know, my first couple of novels were World War II thrillers, Jim, because I'd been born in Germany. My dad was a U.S. Army doctor. And, you know, and this is a business, and you got to make publishers money to be able to have a career. So my first two novels were World War II thrillers. But had I continued with that, that's all they ever would have let me write. So by the third book, I veered into the South. And with the fourth book, I came up with Penn to do my first Natchez book. And that was built around a murder case inspired by the murder of Horless Jackson, a worker who was murdered in Natchez. And that was an unsolved crime. And there was a guy who was a Louisiana detective, a Louisiana cop in New Orleans named Frank Rickard, kind of a interesting character with a dark side and a light side. He led me on an inside tour of the South, Mississippi, New Orleans, and that really set me on my way on these type of books.
In this concept, the trilogy that we now know and love from you, it came about at a particularly rough point in your life.
Well, you know, it's funny. I first conceived it when my last book had been number one in the country. Things were going very well. And politically, people were talking about us being a post-racial society. And I thought, if I take on this story now, it may just be irrelevant. So I attempted to do it as a single book. And right in the midst of that was when I pulled onto Highway 61 and a truck hit my driver's door going 70. Tore my aorta, among other injuries, which is a very low survival rate. When I came out of that, I realized I wasn't going to shortchange myself for the book. I was going to do whatever was required to tell honestly the story of these crimes. Lost my publisher, lost my agent, but I put my nose to the grindstone and cranked these things out. It's been about 8 years, Jim, and I'll tell you, when I started, I felt young and I had both legs. And now, just finishing up, I'm starting to feel old. I hate to make that confession, but it took a lot out of me.
And this writing voyage that you have had, it started more than 30 years ago at Ole Miss, I guess. And when you went to Ole Miss, I understand, Greg, you lived in the cabin where William Faulkner had resided.
I did. I kind of inherited the right to live there from a guy who's now a lawyer in Natchez, and he had a deal with the person who owned it, and it was a little two-room place where Faulkner used to sit with his cousins and a woman who had been born a slave who was sort of his nanny or his mammy, as we know down here, and she would tell them stories. Now, I didn't start writing until about 10 years after I left Ole Miss. You know, I was a musician before that, and I was based out of New Orleans, and I got to say, I wrote my first novel in New Orleans on Lake Avenue, near where the levee would break in 2005, with stacks of books to the ceiling taken from the New Orleans Library on Rudolph S. So I tell you, I got a sentimental feeling about that neck of the woods.
And I think I would be remiss if we didn't mention Dr. Tom Cage, certainly also a principal character in Mississippi Blood.
Well, Tom Cage is very much based upon my father, and he is a type that most people in small town Louisiana, Mississippi will recognize, because a lot of towns had a Tom Cage, and that would be the family doctor who was unbelievably dedicated, would come to a house or a shack in the middle of the night without regard to race to deliver a baby or, you know, even harder things, tougher things. Because back in the day, you know, GP did things in the old days that only surgeons do now. And he was beloved like those guys tend to be. My father certainly was. But again, as they say, the line between good and evil runs down the middle of the human heart. Everybody is shades of gray. And one reviewer put it best. They said, for Isles' story, imagine this. Imagine Jim Finch grew up to learn things about Atticus that no son should ever know about his father. That really gets at the core of what this book is about.
The book is Mississippi Blood, the enthralling conclusion to a breathtaking trilogy, more than 7 years in the making, from the fabulous Greg Isles. Greg, it's been a pleasure.
I really enjoyed it, Jim. Thank you.
See you soon, and congratulations. See you, buddy.